And we'll turn to 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Such a beautiful day, isn't it? To be in the house of the Lord on this Lord's day. And it reads, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. As we come before you, O Lord, we ask, O Father, that you open our hearts to receive your word, to hear in our hearing that which you have that can strengthen us and grow us and mature us in our faith, to grow us in you, O Lord, through your Son Jesus, and to cleanse us of all things. And for those who do not know you, O Father, will bring about a change in their life through the illumination of the power of your Spirit to bring them into your glory, both now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. In Christ alone, as the song was saying, this is who we are, in Christ alone. As we look at 1 Peter here, what we find in the opening is Peter speaking to the church, and there are five churches in Asia Minor that has been scattered, who are suffering under the persecution of Nero. And he's saying to them that because of your election, you've been sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ and cleansed by his blood. Therefore, you are strangers on this earth, and this is not your home, but heaven is. And we see that in verses 1 and 2. And then in verses 3 to 5, Peter instructs them, because of being God's elect, they are kept by the power of God in salvation. And he's saying, know the source of your salvation, which is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of God's divine mercy, he's taken a sinner from misery to glory. There's been a change in condition. Peter says, as a result of your regeneration, as a believer, you have living hope. Because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, this is your hope. Your inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, and is being protected and greatly guarded by the power of God until the day of salvation. In verses 6 through 9, Peter says, I want you to greatly rejoice. Why? Because of the outcome of your faith is the salvation of your soul. And he said, go back and look at all the things that we spoke of prior to this. This is why you are to rejoice. Because you are the elect of God. You are covered by the blood of Christ. Your inheritance is imperishable. It's not defiled. It will not fade away. You see, you're protected by the divine power of God to be revealed in the last time. And because of these blessings spoken by the divine sovereignty of God, rejoice. Rejoice. This is what Peter's saying. And this brings us to our point in Scripture today, where we look at, in your bulletin, you have the outline where you see Christians are served in verses 10 and 11a. You're served by God in 11b to 12a, and you're envied by angels. Jesus said unto his disciples, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you heard and did not hear. And we see that in Matthew 13, 16 and 17. Well, Jesus was saying that to experience something that great and wise, that the holy people longed to experience but couldn't, should make us feel blessed. See, he's speaking about salvation grace that the prophets of old spoke about, but they never had chance to enjoy. And this should make us feel blessed. Peter wants us to have more gratitude and be gracious for our salvation. because the prophets of God and even the angels long to see. Between verse 9 and verse 13, Peter makes a bridge. He talks about them and obtain the outcome of their faith, which is their salvation. And in verses 13, to how you are to live holy. But Peter didn't want to stop right there. He wanted to bring something to their attention so that they can greatly appreciate the privilege of their salvation. And that's the title of this message, the privilege of salvation. See, Peter understood the suffering believers that he was writing to. And he wanted them to understand the value of their faith and not be clueless, just as we are today in Scripture, to understand what salvation means to us and we not be clueless. See, Peter informed them that their faith is more precious than gold, which is being refined by fire. And we see that in verse 7. So he's exhorting them to appreciate the supreme value, the vital nature of salvation in which they grasp by their faith. And you see, the work of salvation, as spoke of in Ephesians 2:8-9, is a gift of God. It was graciously designed by God through the work of his son Jesus and transmitted to others. Peter's reminds us that the work of salvation was predicted over times past. And it was spoke by spirit-led men known as the prophets of God. What they saw by inspiration of God was essential to the message of saving grace. Though the prophets lived in numerous times in very different places, they all spoke the same message. And they all conveyed that same message. And that was salvation, grace to come. You see, we are blessed that we see it now. They look forward, we look back. Because we look back at what the prophets prophesied, and we see it where they prophesied looking forward to never see that. And this is why we have the privilege of that salvation that we share. See, God's plan all along was to save sinners from the bondage and the misery of their sin. And Peter's telling them that plan was undertaken long time ago, and it would be accomplished. So he wants them to understand the truth about salvation past in the hopes of stirring their souls to restore their gratitude to God. In other words, he wants you to be humbled by this privileged consideration of salvation past glories. And we should be humble too. Because you see, we know nothing of the sufferings that the people in Peter's day went through. We have not had that type of persecution. And the persecution that they was going through was not just religious persecution. It was also economical persecution. Because they were being destroyed by Nero, who was the emperor at that time. And they was under harsh conditions. So Peter's exalting them, encouraging them to remain faithful in that which God has given them. And that is their salvation. And so he wants us to look at this greatness of salvation through the eyes of God's messengers who brought this gospel, that this is our privilege to have God's agents proclaim salvation's message. He also realized that these Christians are struggling and they're angry. So he's writing to them to exhort them about what God is doing, have done, and will do for them. Just as what God is doing for us, he has done, and he will continue to do for us if we remain faithful. He's saying, look at that privilege to have salvation's grace foretold to them by the Old Testament prophets, the Holy Spirit, the apostles, and the angels. And in verse 12, he tells us this. He said, rejoice. Why? Because it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. They were serving you, serving us. They were God's agents, ordained in the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver salvation's message. If you will, for a moment, turn with me to 2 Peter 1:21. 2 Peter 1:21, and you see this. In which the scripture says, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will, but by men moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke to by God. You see, so he's saying that They didn't come up with this themselves. This is the power of God working through them to deliver his message that they would not see, but we would have salvation, grace, benefit that they long to see. See, Scripture spoke of the Old Testament prophets being God's messengers. They did not live to see the fulfillment of the coming of Messiah. And you see that in Hebrews 1:1, in which the Scripture said, in the past, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets and those who he had chosen. But now in the future, he speaks through his Son. You see, so God is speaking to us through the work of his Son, Jesus. The prophets of old thought about, wanted to know who this Messiah is. They had no idea. What was the only thing they did know was that he was coming, he was going to suffer, and there would be glories. They had no picture as to who this person is. And this is what Peter is telling the people at this time to appreciate and acknowledge what has been given to you, spoken by the prophets of past. And he's saying the key to your privilege is that to whom it was revealed, the Old Testament prophets, the apostles' preachings, and the angels' examination of what we have received. And that is salvation and grace. This says several characters about this part of the scripture that Peter's speaking about. You see, salvation is the theme of scripture. God called an appointed spokesman to record his word. And he sometimes instructed them to write down what he said. And you can see this in Isaiah 38, Jeremiah 32, 36 and 2, 20, Ezekiel 43, 11, and Habakkuk 2 and 2, where God instructed these prophets of his to write what he was saying. And scripture is God's thing given for humanity. It's God's grace given for humanity. See, the word came by the inspiration of God. These men did not speak of themselves, nor did they write about themselves. They were used by God to write, and what he instructed them through the power of the Spirit moving in them, what he wanted us to read and know today. You see, they were doing this work, but they had no idea about who the Messiah is. They knew he would come. They knew he would suffer. They knew his glories would follow. But they didn't know what time that this would take place. And that was their curiosity. When is this going to happen? Why come? How come we don't know? We're not going to see this. You see, God's plan was being formed from the beginning. And in his plan, he used these men to speak his word. And you see, and he stressed, and all this stresses the outcome and the content of God's work and his message. That the death and resurrection of Christ are central to his work. And it is central to our relationship with him. And it commands us to rejoice. You see, we rejoice because you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. You see, Peter could have transitioned straight into holy living. But he waited. He wanted to explain the role of Scripture in their salvation. And so we want to share a few things this morning about that. And as your outline has stated, as a Christian, you have been served. You see, as a privileged Christian, you've been served. Let's look at verse 10, as it said, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that will come made careful searches and inquiries. The key to understanding this verse is the two words that have the same meaning, searches and inquiries. The emphasis placed here is on the intensity which the prophets explored into their own prophecies. See, the diligence in which they investigated their own writings to better understand the magnitude of salvation grace. See, they were limited in what was revealed as to how or when this would come about in their lifetime. See, all revelation pointed to the future. Nothing pointed to the time that they were living in. God did not give revelation to men to simply because they begged for it. He sovereignly chose his prophets and spokesmen and the message he would inspire them to write. Remember in Jeremiah, when he spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, I form you I knew you in your mother's womb before you was born. And then he said, I placed my words in your mouth that you shall speak. So this is what these God inspired them to do. What kept them in their search was the Spirit of Christ moving in them to write about Christ and the Messiah to come. Again, 2 Peter 1, 20-21 said, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by Holy Spirit spoken from God. And that key, that verse there is key to everything that we understand in studying Holy Scripture. That no prophecy comes from man. And that's a key verse in our study when we listen at Scripture, when we hear people speak the Word of God. If it doesn't marry up with Scripture, then it wasn't spoken by God. So we have to be understand what God is saying here. He directed all things. It's His power, His sovereign will that spoke what He wanted us to hear. You see, the prophets in their own writing wanted to see the Messiah. They wanted to comprehend the salvation that He would bring. They had no clue, because they were limited in what they was being taught, what they was being given. They was following the instructions and the power of God under the Holy Spirit to move and write what God has ordained for them to write. What Peter is explaining is to the suffering Christians that these prophets made careful searches into the person of the Savior. They want to know the timing of His work, the character of His work. How would this be accomplished? So you are privileged because you've been served. Because then Peter's telling them, say, I as an apostle, I was commissioned to bring the full gospel that the prophets of the Old Testament longed to see. So he's telling them, I walked with Christ. I testify to the affinity of who Christ is. You see, I was there, so I've been commissioned to bring this to you. So he's encouraging them from his position as an apostle, but also as a leader in the church. You see, as a leader in the church, we are to encourage you to walk in the light of God. And we are to use Scripture to help with that encouragement in our exhortation to you. And this is what Peter's doing. He's exhorting them to be as who Christ is in them. Understand the privilege that you have. Understand the things that has been granted unto you through the salvation that you have received. Don't worry about what you're suffering. It's only temporarily. But eternity is your present home. That where you're living now, just as we are, this is not our home, but heaven is. So we don't worry about the things that's going on. We are privileged of the salvation grace that we receive, because we know something, that those who do not have salvation grace will not see eternity. So they have no privilege. We have that privilege. You see, and their search was inquiring into the timing. When is this going to take place? You see, we're writing about these things, but when is this going to happen? Is there a date? Is there a time? Is there an error? Do we have any more information as to when this Messiah is going to come? And so Peter said they spent their days trying to sort this out. They studied long and hard. They pored over God's word as it was being given to them in the Spirit of Christ. You see, this tells us something. That Christ would come. But in their insight, they were limited as to when He was going to come. They had no knowledge of that. God did not give that to them. He had them to foretell what we now read, and they had no knowledge of, because they did not live to see that fulfillment of Christ's coming. We know that they knew that Christ would suffer, and they knew after His suffering there would be glories. And we see that in Scripture, in Psalms 22, Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53, Daniel 9, Zechariah 10, about His sufferings. And then we see His glories that was to follow, such truths as the resurrection, His ascension, His enthronement, appearing in the passages of Isaiah 9, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Zechariah 2, 10, 14. You see, these prophets knew about the sufferings because it was written in their time. And even the last prophet, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, asked the question, are you the expected one? You see, John the Baptist, the forerunner, even he had doubts. But Jesus didn't answer his question either. He told John's people to go back and tell John what they saw. People being healed. You see, he didn't answer that question. See, John was looking for who is he? See, the Old Testament prophets sought to know more precisely what person will come as a savior, as a judge, as a prophet, as a priest, or a king. They wanted to know what era, what season that this would take place. When was these things going to occur? They prophesied and foretold about it, but they had no understanding when it was going to take place. They knew that Christ would suffer, and they knew out of his suffering would come his glories. So when we say that you, as a privileged Christian, you've been served, you've been served. Because the prophets foretold, spoke what God moved them to speak about salvation, grace, future, from the prophecies of grace past, you were served. And then when, as a Christian, you've been served by God. We look at verses 11a to 12, 11b to 12a. Seeking, inquiring what personal time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. See the key to that. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. See, Peter is saying they're seeking what personal time the Spirit of Christ in them indicating the who and the when. You see, we also see the activity of the Holy Spirit moving in them as Christ's Spirit within them. We see the activity of God because he said it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. And if they were not serving themselves, who were they serving? They were serving you. This is the activity of the Trinity, serving us to understand what God's plan of salvation was at that time. And we now have the full view of it because the gospel has now been unveiled to us. So we know what salvation's plan is. It's Christ Jesus who's been revealed to us. Excuse me. It was the Spirit of Christ in them directing their movement and what they were writing about. You see, the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And we read those back in the Old Testament. Psalms 22, Isaiah, Daniel, and Zechariah, just as his glories was mentioned in Isaiah, Daniel, and Zechariah. Such truths as the resurrection, the ascension, and his enthronement. See, the prophecies the Holy Spirit revealed to the prophets were divinely inspired and recorded under his superintendence. Under God's superintendence was it divinely inspired to be recorded. And when Peter used the phrase that the Spirit of Christ within them, he's demonstrating that the internal Christ is inseparable from the Holy Spirit. That Christ was moving and working then as he moves and works now. See, the work, the Old Testament writer to record God's record is his infallible revelation. See, everything that God did, he used men to record what he wanted. And this is why we have the canon of scriptures today. Because it's God spoken, God breathed. It's been closed. It's God's word spoken by those he chose to reveal his word to us. And let's go back to what Peter said, for no prophecy of a scripture ever came by the will of man, but by those directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit is testifying into the prophets about God's salvation in Jesus Christ. The Spirit made clear that the prophets' searching would never be fully satisfied. No matter how far they looked, how much time they spent doing it, the Spirit was making it clear that what we are revealing to you to write at this moment is what you have to understand. We're not going to take it beyond that. The Spirit didn't do that because it was for a prophecy of the future, not at the time that they was writing it. And this is what Peter wants them to understand, what Scripture is saying to them. And it's what we have to understand when we look at prophecies from the past that's been fulfilled in the future, that it was already foretold and it came to revelation. The Scripture supports Scripture. And so in Acts 3:18, if you turn there for a moment, you'll see that. Where God says, but the, so wait while you're turning, Acts 3:18. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. You see, even Peter, in writing in the book of Acts, he spoke that what God spoke in the past has now been fulfilled. The prophets didn't understand that, but this now has been fulfilled. And if you remember, Jesus on the road in Emmaus, after his resurrection, when he was walking, and these two individuals on the way back to Jerusalem, and they said, are you the only one in town who did not know what was going on? And so he said, no, explain it to me. And they started talking that he had died, and everybody was upset, and they was walking. He kept talking to them, and eventually they said, well, we going on. And he says, kind of late, come join us. And then when he revealed it to them who he was by saying this, wasn't it written in the Old Testament that Christ had to come and suffer before he gets his glory? And after he revealed that to them, their eyes were open. And then they said, oh, why didn't this burn within us? So you see, even at that time when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus and he brought that part of the gospel from the Old Testament back to them, that their eyes were open. You see, they were still blinded. They didn't understand that. So you see, the prophets didn't know, as well as a lot of the people still didn't understand that. So it took Jesus to reveal that to them. You see, nevertheless, the prophets were by God's Holy Spirit enabled to understand and predict the nature of the Savior's work. See, the Savior's ministry will be a career of suffering from the contradictions of his enemies, leading to his arrest, his trial, his mockings, his beating, his crucifixion, his death, and his burial. All these things were foretold. So Jesus spoke these Old Testament prophets, again when he was on the road to Emmaus, saying, was it not necessary for Christ to suffer those things and enter into his glory? And see, in Mark 10:14, Jesus said, the Son of God came not to be served, but to serve, give him his life as ransom for many. You see, Christ's servants, the prophets, the apostles, the preachers of his word, do not seek to be served, but serve those chosen by God for salvation. In other words, we who love our Lord, the Savior, do not serve ourselves at no point, no time, no matter. We serve you. You see, there is a measurable value of fulfillment in that prophecy of us serving you. We can't serve ourselves because it's not our word. It's to serve you, God's word, to help you to grow, help you to be strengthened, to help you to exhort you in the things of Christ so as you mature through the word of God. This is our encouragement to you. We don't look at ourselves. It's all about God. Peter is encouraging the Christians in his day that in spite of your condition, you are privileged. You are being served by Christ in all his sufferings and in his future glory. And John, in 1 John 1, when he says, these things I say to you are true, that we was with Christ. We felt him. We saw him. We was there during all of his sufferings. See, he gives a testimony that he was there and the things about Christ is true. See, and finally we look at the privilege of being, the angels were envy. And we have privilege to be in that position. Why would the angels envy us? You ever thought about that? Why would an angel envy you? No. We haven't. Because we don't see it that way. Because angels are not human. They are created to serve God. But what Peter is focusing on is that which is revealed, which is God's doing. God revealing salvation's grace through his agents, including the angels. The question that he asks, who brought you the good news? The Holy Spirit from heaven. Recall the birth of Jesus? Who spoke to the wise men? The angels. Who spoke to Joseph in a dream, saying, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife? An angel. Who spoke to the women at the tomb? An angel. You see, we see the activity of God using angels to serve. Now, they envy what God was doing with these humans, stressing the continuity of each role in revealing God's plan of salvation. They was envy there. What are you doing with these humans? Why would angels be envy about our position? That they would long to look into these things. And when it say long to look, it's described in an intensity, an overpowering impulse that's not easily satisfied. You know, first we have to understand this, that angels are not humans, according to the Bible. They are a separate order of creation that we know little about, and their primary purpose is to serve God. They're not humans. They were created to serve God and other creatures. And we know from the New Testament that they were to serve Jesus when he was born. We know that he served Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22:43. And we also know that they rejoice in heaven when one person is saved. Luke 15:10. You see, they lived to serve God in us. To understand this phrase, long to look into, think about this. Have you ever driven down the road and saw an accident? And what's one of the first things we do? We be peering. We slow down. Want to see what's going on. You see, that's what we do. Can't see nothing. But we just peering. All traffic comes to a stop, another accident getting ready to happen. But we're peering into what's going on the other side. Or if you ever born out in the country and saw them dig a well. You ever look down that long, dark, deep hole, trying to see where the water is? And what do you see? Total darkness. You don't see nothing. That's the intensity that the angels was looking with. They was peering down. You see, they wanted to look into this thing called salvation. Heaven wanted to peer down into us, just as we want to peer into heaven. If it was open to us, wouldn't we be trying to look into it? You see, the same intensity that the angels have, we have. See, to look, they were fascinated by what God was doing. Saving us sinful people by showing mercy through Christ on the cross, by converting and redeeming us. Peter is saying these things that salvation grace, it engaged an intense peering of an angel to look at these things, and so should we. Do you intently look into salvation grace? Do you ever stop and say, why, God, you save a wretch like me? Do you intently look into what blessing you have received through him saving you? That you become thankful and you give glory and praise and with great intensity unto him? So this is what the angels was looking at. You see, they didn't sin. They didn't need to be converted. They don't get forgiveness. They mess up, they're out of there. But you see, God has set a way for you to be redeemed when you mess up. He has in 1 John 1:9 say, if you are to confess your sins and acknowledge that he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You see, you have a way that the angels do not have. So they was peering intensely as to why you humans would receive such favor from God. And that was that's what kept them looking. They was absorbed by their creator, God who made them. What was he doing with these humans? So they stared down into what was prophesied and what was brought to pass. What grabs your intensity? What intensifies your interest? For the angels, is about salvation. What about you? What are you intense about? What grabs your attention? What holds you in the holy word of Scripture to where you search and you inquire and you search and you inquire until you know it's get as close as possible to what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you in the word of God? What grabs you? Do you have that intense search to peer down into your salvation? To look into your soul and examine yourself to see if you are walking and living in Christ? That the salvation that's been granted to you has been given and you appreciate it and you are thirsting for it and you acknowledge that God saved me. Do you have that intensity? And this is what Peter wants these people to understand. That look at these things from God's perspective. Not look through your own eyes, but see how God has developed it, how God has planned it, as God has foretold it, and now it has come to pass. It's in the present that we receive this. So he wanted them, as well as us, to see the privilege we have of salvation. It is revealed, accepted, be saved by the grace of God. Do not take this salvation for granted. Do not make it cheap for Christ, because he did not die for the angels on the cross, but he died for you and I, us humans. And I ask the question, have we forgotten the richness of our salvation? Have we forgotten the reality of salvation? Do you see the power of God, blessing moving in and through you? Have you forgotten the responsibility for increased faith, for moral excellence, for practical wisdom, for self-control, for perseverance? This is what Peter is explaining to them by saying, you are privileged because you've been served. You've been served by the prophets of old. You've been served by God. And you've been served by the angels who envy through them foretelling the gospel of the good news. See, Christ died for us humans. So don't have a pity party about your sufferings. It's difficult. Yes, it's difficult. But rejoice in the privilege of knowing you've been served. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you on this Lord's Day, we thank you for your word, O Holy Father. We thank you for your salvation, and we thank you for having the privilege of being served by your agents, the prophets, the angels, and all those who spoke your word. And we ask, O Lord God, that we are to let your word richly dwell in us, and that we are to be walking filled in the Spirit of all times. To let this mind of us be the same mind that's in Christ. And for those of us who do not know Christ, that we pray, O Father, that you do illumination in their hearts and call them out of the darkness into your glorious light so that they can partake of the beautiful things of this Lord's Day. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.